Tonight, six games highlight the ESPN Plus NHL schedule, and we're featuring the 7:30 Eastern matchup between Connor McDavid and the Oilers, Dylan Larkin, and the Red Wings. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, yesterday it was Super Bowl media night, and these guys get some interesting questions sometimes. Nick Sirianni got one that seemed as if it had an obvious answer. Listen to this.
A must-win game. Yeah, you know, we're here to, you know, obviously to win the football game. That's our goal.
So yes, on the must-win game.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick already done with it. He's already done with the
credentials revoked.
Oh, you can
on the spot.
You can get credentials for that event. Trust me, are not difficult to get. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We got Foxworth, Ninkovich, Tannenbaum, Legler. We are talking football and we are talking basketball with our game of the night. It was Clippers and Nets. Head coach Jock Vaughn of the Nets, first game since the Kyrie Irving trade. Kevin Durant not playing. He's watching from the sidelines. So Cam Thomas decides he's going to have a big night. Tim Legler, third quarter, tied at 77. Here's Cam with the pull-up mid-range jumper.
He showed you the whole toolkit. Mid-range, he got to the rim, pulling up in transition from deep. He had himself a night.
That's a three. The Nets go into the fourth down just three, largely because of Cam's efforts, and now they're down 108-107 with 4.5 minutes left in the fourth. Another mid-range jumper and the foul.
And doing this again, great defensive players. The Clippers have three legitimate big-time defensive players, and Cam Thomas did whatever he wanted.
47 points, second straight game with at least 40. But under 3 minutes to go, you see Kawhi Leonard spotting up from deep and hitting the three, and the Clippers are back on top.
And Kawhi Leonard is back. He's been phenomenal here in this recent stretch, and as a result, the Clippers are climbing the ladder in the West.
Under a minute to go, Clippers turn it over. Thomas, it's his night, right? Oh, he missed it. Leonard gets the rebound. He passes it to Reggie Jackson, who throws down the dunk. Clippers go on to win 124-116. And after the game, here's Jock Vaughn talking about the Kyrie Irving trade.
My interactions with Kai have always been positive. I enjoyed coaching him. I'll keep it that simple. We've had some ups and downs along the way. I've also seen him grow as an individual and be a better teammate than when I first met him. So for me, I'm always look at the good in people and want the good in people, and I want him to succeed.
Speaking of ups and downs, on Friday morning before Irving's trade request, the Nets had the second shortest odds to win the title, behind only the Celtics. Now, those odds have plummeted all the way to plus 2,000, which gives them the 11th shortest odds, according to Caesars Sportsbook. We are going to have a lot more with legs later in the hour, but we got to do some football because the Super Bowl is only 5 days away. It is featuring the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. In case you hadn't heard, the Chiefs had the most passing yards in the NFL this season, while the Eagles allowed the fewest. It is the third Super Bowl matchup between the top units in those categories. Also the third time ever that the top two teams in defensive sacks have met in the Super Bowl. Philly had 70 of them during the regular season. Kansas City had the next most with 55. And with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes squaring off, this is the first Super Bowl to feature two black starting quarterbacks. Both of those players talked last night about the historic matchup.
It's historic. You know, I think the game has evolved and it's continuing to evolve before our eyes. You know, that's a beautiful thing to see, to be a part of this history. It's a blessing.
I have a lot of respect for the guys that came before me and laid the foundation. They gave me the position to be here. It's going to be a special game and a special moment for a lot of kids to watch as they grow up and try to assume that role that we're trying to set the example for.
This is about as close a matchup as it can be. The teams have identical win-loss records. They've scored the same number of points. They have the exact same number of all-pro selections. And our analytics are split right down the middle, giving each team a 50% chance to win. So it can't end in a tie. That it's again, they'll just play overtime until somebody wins it. It is, after all, a must-win game, as we found out from Nick Sirianni. When we look at like how teams can separate themselves in a close game like this, what's the biggest weakness that Patrick Mahomes can exploit in the Eagles?
It's actually the Eagles' run defense. They're 24th in the league. They give up about 4.6 yards per carry. Now, Andy Reid is a very aggressive offensive coach, play caller. Him and Eric Bieniemy really try to push the ball down the field. It'll be interesting to see from a strategic standpoint, do they modify their approach this game because their matchup, they have a really good running back in Isaiah Pacheco, averages almost 5 yards a carry. As you mentioned earlier, Dan, they activated Clyde's Edwards-Helaire, so they have a little bit more depth there. So from a strategy standpoint and a chess match, I'm really interested to see, will Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy modify themselves a little bit to exploit the one vulnerability of that Eagles defense, which is stopping the run?
Yeah, I think the Eagles defense, the stopping the run thing, I understand, but they're really good at limiting big plays. So I would find a way, if I was the Chiefs, to try to find a way to create big plays. And that way, I think, is using Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. There hasn't been an answer for Travis Kelce all season, and that's where Eagles are weakest in the passing game. They're number one in the league outside the numbers. They're number 26, I think, in the league inside the numbers through passing attack. And that's where Travis Kelce likes to work. So I think that's the way that they beat him. Yes, some running, but you're going to have to get big chunks against any NFL defense, especially one this good.
What do you think? How do the Chiefs attack the Eagles?
I think Edwards-Helaire is a guy that, like, he before his injury, he's a big screen guy. So when you have a physical, aggressive front that likes to get up the field and pass rush, the one way that you can really attack that is through the screen game. And Patrick Mahomes' ability to sidearm the ball and get it through the traffic, I think having a running back that you can run the screens through is really going to slow down the front. That's how you slow them down, screen game.
Add him to Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon, who had a big finish to this season. They do have depth at that running back position. Let's flip it around. How do the Eagles take advantage of a Chiefs weakness?
Well, I think it's the offensive tackle. Like, you know, if you go across the board here, the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs, they're solid in the middle. But on the outside, you know, Wiley's a kind of a weak link there. So you have a great pass rusher. We know that the Eagles can get after the quarterback. So, again, if you look at Reddick and what he's been able to do, he's got 19 and a half sacks through the regular season and the playoffs, 3.5 in the playoffs. You saw him last week against the 49ers. They game planned terrible. They had a backside tight end coming across to try and block the best pass rusher they have. So you have to make sure that you put your best pass rusher against the weak link. Take advantage of that. Maybe you get a ball off him. We've seen in the Super Bowl in the past with the Eagles playing the Patriots. It was only one rush. You get the ball off somebody, you get a turnover, that's the game.
Mike T, what do you think the Chiefs' biggest weakness is?
Oh, it's their lack of experience on defense. It's remarkable how good they've been this year and how young they are. When you think about their secondary, Trent McDuffie's a first-round pick. Jalen Watson's a seventh-round pick. Josh Williams a fourth. Brian Cook's a second. And they've all played meaningful amounts of snaps this year. And when you're going against this very complicated Philadelphia Eagle offense and how great Jalen Hurts is at making decisions, zone reads, RPOs, it's going to put a lot of pressure on that Chiefs secondary. So they've played very well this year, but they are very inexperienced, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think one of the strengths of the Eagles team is their corners with Slay and Bradberry. And one of the weaknesses of the Chiefs team is, like, the receiver talent. It's not all that high, so I think that's the way the Eagles can attack them, is leave those corners on an island, put more attention on the inside of the field to take away Kelce, and hope that your corners can stand up. I think the corners can play well in those positions. The question is Patrick Mahomes being able to buy time, which we think will be somewhat limited with his ankle. Buying time and man coverage is tough on the corners, but if he stays in the pocket, I think those corners will be fine.
The other issue is that the Chiefs have a lot of injury problems at wide receiver, right? Mecole Hardman not going to play. Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster left the AFC Championship game with injuries. We'll obviously track their status, as the week goes along. But we want to stop with another AFC West team and Denver, because the Broncos introduced Sean Payton as their new head coach yesterday. Payton's going to coach Russell Wilson and hope to get more out of him than Russell gave the Broncos in his first year. Payton got a question yesterday at his news conference about the way things worked with Russell in Denver last year, and, well, here's what he had to say.
Coach, Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it. But our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
Right.
It's impressive the way he, like, masked the stain. Like, you could see it, and he, like, tamped it down a little bit. But, yeah, I think I agree with him generally, is you have coaches that you hire, and that's your team. If you want to get some special coaching outside of that, then you can do that. You don't need to integrate them into the staff. But I do think that it does – we're going to play it up, and everyone, the conversation is going to make Russell feel like he's being alienated and isolated and kind of being treated like he's just another player, which he kind of, well, I mean, not getting paid like one.
But look, obviously Russell hears that, but so does everyone else on the team, right?
Yeah, that's media training 101. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. And what was loud and clear, what he was saying is, I'm in charge, players and coaches, everybody else, get out. And that message was sent to Russell Wilson and the rest of the locker room, like, there's a new sheriff in town, it's a new day, it's a new culture.
And I think it probably goes over well in the locker room. I would get the sense that generally the players in the locker room are probably happy. That was the sense that I got last year, is like, they wanted someone who they felt like they can trust and who they can rely on and who's going to take control of the situation, because it didn't feel like Nathaniel Hackett had control of it, and Russell was saying less ride, but not throwing touchdowns.
Nick, how do you think this goes for
Wilson? That team, the whole team, they're in for a rude awakening. When Sean walks in for that first team meeting, he's going to lay down the law. He's going to explain exactly what he wants. And if you're not on board,
right?
Yeah, I was in his first draft class. So in 2006 with the Saints, drafted by Sean Payton.
Did he ever rip you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's a clip. I don't know if we could find it, but it's in the preseason. We're playing the Cowboys. And Sean Payton, I have a TFL, and I throw the running back, and I get a flag, 15 yards. I come off the field. He's screaming at me at the top of his lungs, "You think you're worth 15 yards?" I said, "No, no." He's like, you're not. And I just think back to that time. Wow, was it wild? Because at the time, Sean Payton came in to create a winning culture in a losing environment with the Saints. They hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
So he came in there and he changed everything. He changed the attitude. And when you were there sitting for that first meeting, you knew, okay, this is about to get serious. We were in Jackson, Mississippi at Millsaps College. It was serious.
Seriously,
hot too.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say we all think you're worth at least 15.
No, I was not.
No, absolutely.
Not then.
Maybe not as a rookie now. But now
draft pick rookie, like, you're not worth anything.
I mean, 50 yards in preseason, I think you're worth 15 preseason.
15 preseason.
That was just mean, Sean.
I mean, Nico was the headlines, but the other guy they brought in was some guy named Drew Brees, and that worked out really well between Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And I'm sure that the Denver Bronco organization is sitting there saying, if there's anybody on the planet that can fix Russell Wilson, it has to be this guy.
Why? Because you see similarities?
I do. They're both height-deficient quarterbacks, and Sean did a great job of having a firm pocket for Drew Brees, and that's what Russell Wilson needs. He needs a firm pocket. He's not a big guy. Nick, you said last hour, his skills have diminished. So now you're short, you're slow. You need a really good offensive line.
Ruthless.
We go by what we see.
Height deficient, speed deficient.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the idea of Sean Payton coming in there to help them offensively, and I think you nailed it. The most important thing is to improve the offensive line. Everyone gets better when they're protected and they feel safe, they feel comfortable. But giving Russell quick options to make quick decisions, get rid of the ball, I think will help him a lot as long as he buys into it. And then if they get in tough situations, I think he still has the athleticism to make some of the kind of scrambly, off unscripted plays work every now and then. But it felt like last year he didn't feel comfortable with any of his throws, and it just felt like a disjointed offense. And I think Sean Payton's going to be capable of bringing in something a little smoother.
I think they're going to do a great job. The reports are they hired Zach Strief, the former. He was in the draft class in 2006 with me. So
did he have any personal foul calls?
What's that?
Did he have any personal foul calls?
No, I don't think he did.
Is he worth 15 yards?
A couple holding calls. I know Zach really well.
Drew Brees was worth 15 yards.
Brees, yeah. Well, in the preseason that year, he didn't throw a pass till the regular season. We were all looking around like, is this okay? Not throwing a ball? He would point. I'm going there.
Oh, because the shoulder.
That's his shoulder.
I'll bet you Russell Wilson throws some preseason passes.
Yeah,
I think we will see that. We come back. We have much more to get to on Get Up, including the King's speech. Is LeBron really annoyed that the Lakers didn't get Kyrie? And does he have the right to be? We'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, the question about Dak Prescott that fired up the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Yes, unusual circumstances. Something got Michael Irvin fired up. And you're going to want to hear and see what that was when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
After another disappointing ending to a Dallas Cowboys season, there are fresh questions about Dak Prescott's future and whether the Cowboys should extend his contract this offseason. Got 2 years left on his deal. Michael Irvin had thoughts.
I don't want everybody out here to fall into this mix and this mess that y'all perpetuate, where everybody's coming in like, you got to get rid of Dak. You got to get rid of Dak. And leave us sitting somewhere in purgatory, somewhere between heaven and hell, without a quarterback for the next 15 years. So y'all can stop this rhetoric and stop this mess, because your virus will not get into our computer and get us out of the fight.
It already
we
has.
Stay in the fight.
It already has.
So stop it.
I don't know what he's saying. It doesn't matter. I believe. I'm on board. I will vote for him for anything, especially Dak Prescott. So yes, Mike Irvin. Yes.
I mean, purgatory. He's out there in Phoenix. Looks nice. Looks nice.
Heaven.
Heaven and hell. Anyway, it's great. We're just going to keep playing that over and over again the rest of the day.
I can do.
But in the meantime, look, we asked this last hour, like, should the Cowboys extend Dak Prescott? You guys all said yes. So we don't want to go back over that, because it's not interesting when everybody agrees. Mm. So what is the one thing that the Cowboys need to do to help Dak this offseason?
Yeah, I think that the situation in the backfield is concerning. He needs a running back that is versatile, and they had one in Tony Pollard. He's a free agent, and he has a broken foot right now. So I think addressing that, if it's re-signing him and nursing him back to health or finding some other explosive weapon, obviously it'd be nice to have Ezekiel Elliott back to rookie contract Ezekiel Elliott, but they don't have a time machine. So I think they're going to have him on the roster, it appears, but they need to add somebody else, either a healthy Pollard or some other young, explosive, pass-catching running back.
Yeah, Pollard, a free agent. Zeke's got a big cap number that would have to come down in order to keep him. So potentially big changes on at that position for the Cowboys. How about you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going pass pro. So I'm going to go over the last 3 years and tell you where they rank as far as pass protection. In 2022, they were 28. That's not good. In 2021, they were 23rd. And in 2020, they were 26th. So I don't care who you are. You could be Tom Brady. If you don't have protection, you're in trouble. And we've seen that. You saw Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. But he didn't have a great offensive line. He got abused. And what did they do in the offseason? They made it a point to go out. They went and got Joe Tooney. They tried to shore up that offensive line so you could give your quarterback the best opportunity to go out there and excel. So number one, go get pass pro.
They have shown the ability to prioritize that offensive line in the draft in years past. So maybe they do that. If you're the GM of the Cowboys, which congratulations, you're also their owner, what's the biggest thing you're working on to help Dak this offseason?
Getting a frontline number one receiver, guys. When they lost Amari Cooper, they lost a lot. This is an offense that has a bunch of really good complementary parts. I really like CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz. Michael Gallup really showed that he's really more of a two. So if you could go out, Michael Thomas of the Saints, he's someone that at one point was a great receiver, guys. He needs a change of scenery. I think Michael Thomas comes in and makes all those other pieces, Tony Pollard, Dalton Schultz, CeeDee Lamb, a lot better. And I think that would help Dak a lot.
So you think a veteran, like a Michael, like because there's not a lot on that wide receiver market by all accounts, right?
And look, you're going to take a chance. It's going to be like someone like him who needs, you know, a fresh start, someone like OBJ coming off of another big injury. But they need another frontline receiver.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
They could trade for D-Hop, too. That's
DeAndre Hopkins certainly potentially available. We talked about the Bengals' issues. What if T. Higgins or somebody like that becomes available if a team isn't going to sign him? Some interesting possibilities for the Cowboys. But now it is time for the verbal tightrope that is zero fuck given. This is what Dominique Foxworth tells us about people who really just don't care too much what others think about what they're doing. It's called Zero Fox Given. You see the fancy graphic here with Dominique in his little fox suit.
Yeah, let's start it with, speaking of fox suits.
Yeah, who you got?
The coolest guy in the NBA right now, Kyle Kuzma. Like his, I mean, I'm not cool enough to know whether these fits are cool or not, but I mean, I feel it. What's this little black Michelin man we got going here? Airbag chic. I've messed with it. It's cool.
Like in case you accidentally fall in a pool, like on your way to the facility, you're good, right?
Maybe the buster. Oh, I this, like though. This one. This is if Rainbow Bright fell on some hard times and had to become a stick-up kid. This is what she would look like. And that, I actually do think that looks really good. Like, I couldn't pull it off because I'll be 40 next month and I'm too old to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I was like 22, I also wouldn't be able to pull it off, but I would look at other people and say, damn, that dude is cool right there.
Rainbow Bright falling on hard times.
Yeah, she had to hit people up.
What else you got? How about, wait, did you watch the Pro Bowl?
How could you miss the Pro Bowl? I love the Pro Bowl, and I love the intensity that we saw in this game. And the cornerbacks, they don't know how to turn it off. Check out my man, Jalen Ramsey. It's the Pro Bowl. It's flag.
Oh,
I'm going to finish Tyreek Hill.
Because
it's not. The game's on the line. That's a legal play. It was unintentional.
It doesn't look like he's pulling up, but it looks like he wants you to think he's pulling up.
Well, then he's done a good job. That is from years of making pass interference not look like pass interference. Well done, Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's an art there. All right.
And we are going to your favorite sport last one, ice hockey.
That's
the
my
Rangers
favorite sport.
Captain Jacob Trouba. Oh,
wow.
Have mercy. Talk about hits. And then, not only does he lay somebody out, he takes another teammate and gives him a knuckle sandwich, several of them, wins the fight, lays somebody out, Dick Nitrade Lane style, helmet goes flying. That's scary. You know, we can laugh about it because his head didn't hit the ice.
You know what would have helped Kadri there is that jacket that Kyle Kuzma was wearing. You take a hit like that, and you're all protected in all the right places. So maybe Kuzma's onto something. Maybe that'd be good for
what hockey. Do I have to get you in order to get you to wear the Kuzma Rainbow Bright outfit? Like, is there?
I can put that on. I would rock that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
bring it in next week. I'll do it. I'll roll in here with it. What do I got to lose?
I don't know.
Not that one.
We got to go Rainbow Bright.
We're talking about the other one.
No shirt on underneath, the abs and everything showing in the full rainbow crochet ski mask. You can pull that off.
Well, you know what I don't know is where to buy that.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's too expensive for any of us to buy.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're going to use it on air, we expense it. Like, Disney can certainly play that out. Like, it would be worth it for the bit. There's no
make it happen, Allie. Get that next week.
You know who might know where to buy it? LeBron James. And when we come back, we are going to talk about LeBron James, possibly about to make history tonight. What would the scoring record mean for LeBron's legacy? We will discuss that when we come back. Plus, the end of an era in Brooklyn. Does Kyrie's departure signal the end of super teams in the NBA? We will ask that question next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on Get Up, time to run the floor with Steph Curry sidelined by a leg injury. Klay Thompson had a season-high 12 three-pointers, finished with 42 points as the Warriors beat the Thunder 141-114. Thompson now has 8 games with 10 or more three-pointers, second in NBA history behind Curry's 22. In Brooklyn, the Nets' first game since Kyrie Irving was traded. His replacement had a career night. Cam Thomas finished with 47 points. But it was not enough. The Clippers behind Paul George rallied late to win 124-116. As for Kyrie Irving, he was spotted in Dallas yesterday, leaving the Mavericks practice facility. Today, Irving is expected to practice with the team, and tomorrow he is expected to make his Mavericks debut against the Clippers on ESPN. Meanwhile, tonight, LeBron James can break the NBA's all-time scoring record as the Lakers host the Thunder. LeBron needs 36 points to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yesterday, our Michael Wilbon asked LeBron what that record would mean.
I've never said I wanted to lead the league in scoring, or for sure never said I wanted to be the all-time leader in scoring. That's never been like a dream of mine, and to sit here and actually be on the brink of it happening, this is pretty, it's pretty crazy. For me to be in the company with such a prominent, dominant force like Kareem was, it's an honor.
And you've probably imagined it a million times now lately anyway. What does it look like when you put it through the basket to pass Kareem?
I don't want to do it on a free throw, so hopefully I can get a nice layup or my signature dunk in transition or a fadeaway, you know. I don't know, but a free throw feel like it's cheating the process.
It's fun that he's thought that much about it. What a cool position to be in. We got Tim Legler back with us and Jalen Rose joining us. We know, Jalen, from what he said, what this record means to him. When you look at LeBron as an observer of the game, what does the record mean in terms of his legacy?
Well, it puts LeBron in the category of definitely being the most versatile player of this generation. Wilt Chamberlain is the only person to ever lead the league in scoring, rebounding, and assists. And the Big O had the triple-double record for so very long. But LeBron James, when you not only are breaking the all-time scoring record, but you're top four in assists of all time, he is the definition of positionless basketball. He embodies taking care of your body, being in shape, being a professional, showing up to work every night, and delivering consistently as a champion, as a leader, and as somebody that you now put in the conversation of greatest players of all time. So this is an amazing feat for LeBron. It's not gonna happen tonight, though. He understands theater. And the great Michael Wilbon, I don't know if he asked him this, but he ain't breaking the record tonight. He gonna break the record Thursday when they play against the Bucks, when it's on TNT, and he know the stage is set. It's gonna be interesting to see if he gets around 25 or 30, if he starts to look to pass a little more versus looking to shoot. Don't bet for him to break the record tonight.
Yeah, that is interesting because they do have to win these games, right? So if that's what's required, then maybe. But you're right, maybe he does a little more shot creation. So few things in sports and this world live up to the hype. This is a player whose high school games were on television before that was a thing, and he has become everything that he was expected to be. How do you put this in perspective?
Yeah, look, LeBron obviously has been a polarizing figure throughout his career, but no matter how you feel about LeBron James, what you just said is so true. He's the most hyped player in the history of the league coming into the league, and he lived up to it. The pressure will crack most people coming in with those kind of expectations. He lived up to it. And for me, when you talk about him as a scorer, well, a few things have to happen. First, you have to have a long career where you're available just about every night. You don't have any career-altering major injuries, so he avoided that. Mm-hmm. And you got to be incredibly consistent. Now, the thing about LeBron, he'll always say, well, I'm a reluctant scorer. I always consider myself a facilitator first, and that might be true. But when you go back and look throughout his career, the one thing he was always able to do was turn it up whenever he needed to give his team an opportunity to win by being an elite-level scorer. And I think ultimately, after you talk about his finals accomplishments, because that will always be the first thing in my mind that comes up, 4 rings and 10 appearances. That's the first thing you're going to say about LeBron. This will be the next thing on the list, the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league. And by the way, Jalen made a great point. When he cracked the top 5 in assists, look at the scoring totals of those players. He more than doubled them up as a scorer while getting into the same company as a facilitator. Truly remarkable. For me, this is the second greatest player of all time, and I think he's the only guy that's a legitimate debate, if you want to, with MJ. But for me, it will always be MJ, but I think at least he's entered that conversation.
Absolutely astounding career that is continuing at a pretty remarkable pace the way he's playing this year. He was also in the news this week because the Lakers were in on the Kyrie Irving trade, did not get him. He ends up going to the Mavericks, as we mentioned, and Michael Wilbon asked LeBron about that in the interview. Listen to this.
I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with and know I got great chemistry with on the floor that can help you win championships in my mind, in my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be, and that's this club now and what we have in the locker room.
That's
and guys,
a quick pivot, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. It don't take me long.
All right, so Jalen, obviously he wanted to get Kyrie. This is as good a player as you could possibly get at this trade deadline in terms of talent. They don't get him. Where do LeBron and the Lakers go from here?
Legs, and you know this. Let me tell you from somebody that's been traded 150 times. When the Nets realize that Kyrie Irving wants to get traded, their goal ain't to trade him to his desired destination. I always thought it was laughable when people thought that he would end up with the Lakers. I'm pretty sure when they looked down at their phone and they saw 310-323-213, they got sent to voicemail. That's why he ended up in Dallas. Because ultimately, if you're the Nets, you're not in the business of trying to put Kyrie Irving in position to be on the largest stage to win a championship this year, after he just demanded a trade. And another thing, for the Boston Celtics, they would be foolish to trade Jaylen Brown at this point of his career and break up Jason Tatum and that duo that a lot of people have been clamoring for them to do the last few years for some odd reason. For Kevin Durant, at this point of his career, I'm no fool. I know how dominant and great KD is, but at his age, he's dealt with some injuries these last couple of years. You don't trade Jaylen Brown for him if you're the Celtics. And so what's next for LeBron is to break the scoring record, continue to be dominant. They added Rui Hachimura. Hopefully AD can stay healthy. The Lakers are in position to upset a top seed. Look at the top of the Western Conference. Teams like Memphis, a squad like the Kings. If the Lakers were playing against them in the first round as a 6 or a 7 seed, I would pick the Lakers to actually win that series. I don't think they're going to win it all this year, but I think the Lakers have put themselves in position to advance in the playoffs.
What do you think, Tim? Can this Laker team make noise?
I think they can. They're going to be dangerous. But when I look at the Western Conference, Jalen's right. This is the craziest year I've seen because you look at the teams that are lurking beneath the surface, right? We know about Memphis and Denver. They've been the two best teams in the West all year. Sacramento's been a great story. But look at teams like Golden State. The Dallas Mavericks, who are basically 500, just added Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. They've got Luka Doncic already. The Phoenix Suns are about to get Devin Booker back and might make a big splash at the trading deadline. The Lakers and then the Clippers, who were sub 500 for a long time. So you've got five teams lurking to take on those top three seeds in the Western Conference. And there's going to be some very interesting predictions that are going to be made when we finally have those first round matchups, because some of these teams clearly are going to be favored as a road underdog going in.
Lots to still be sorted out in the Western Conference the rest of this season. You know, guys, Stephen A. Smith was in here yesterday talking about the Kyrie Irving trade, and one of the things he brought up was a potential effect of this deal that I haven't heard mentioned anywhere else. Listen to what he had to say.
When you see what transpired in Brooklyn, that was a message to owners and executives everywhere. You maintain control. Don't hand over the keys to the franchise to players, because this is what it can end up being.
So I found that interesting. And I wanted to bring Dominique in because he served
with... You know, I was going to hate that.
I knew how he'd feel about it. He served with the NBPA as well as the NFLPA. So a lot of perspective on this from the players. Do you agree with what he's saying?
Of course not. I mean, so like it's the only way that some teams had to compete. And there are plenty of owners and general managers who are not players who do a horrible job. And you're looking back on the Kyrie situation, it's a bit of an aberration. What happened with Kyrie? Suggesting that Kyrie linking tweets to anti-Semitic tropes is the reason why you can't give players control. Like, I think that's unlikely to happen again with another player. But after all, the point is, when the players have the power, they have the ability to build these type of good teams. There's not a GM in the league that wouldn't have taken those three guys. And it's not like when they were healthy, they weren't far and away a real competitor. So like, we've seen it work. When players have power, we've seen it work as far back as Magic Johnson getting Westhead fired, and as recently as LeBron James winning a championship in LA. So, like, I don't know. I think some people are uncomfortable with the players having power, and whenever they do, whenever there's something that gives them an opportunity to pounce on the players and say, like, oh, this is why you can't do that, then they do that. And obviously, Stephen A. knows basketball as well as anyone. But I mean, I'm biased. Players deserve the power because they are the value in this game.
What do you think, Jalen? I mean, when you look at what happened and how wrong it went in Brooklyn, do you think teams will look at this differently?
I believe a lot like what Dominique said, as long as players have one thing, guaranteed contracts, that's going to give them the power. And another thing that already happened is that fans, organizations, and the media accepted that players don't need to play 82 games every night. Right. Legs, you remember the days where back-to-backs were normal and long road trips actually happened, and then players were required to play in the game and then practice the next day? Once that started to happen and players realized that I can play 65 to 70 games and play 5 or 10 more years and make some extra coin without playing the 82-game schedule, that's what changed it for the players. And lastly, player empowerment and or super teams happen when superstars exist. Yeah. There aren't many superstars in today's game. Mm. And so therefore, there can't be that level of trying to join up, because that rookie deal is so hefty. If you notice, usually a player now, because Adam Silver did a terrific job of changing this rule, after their rookie deal, normally you're staying with that team because you don't want to take the kind of haircut financially. So player empowerment in the NBA is here to stay. Dominique, the NFL logo is a shield. The NBA logo is a player. I think Jerry West. And that's what it's going to be.
That's a great point. And I think you brought up something earlier too about the contracts. And once you have a salary cap in NBA, which they have now, and also you have max contracts, then you don't have the power at that point. Because if you want to control a player, you pay them as much money as you can, and then they will not have the leverage. Right now, they get paid the same thing no matter where they go. So then they're going to use that to say, all right, well, there's no difference if I go here or there. All right, I'll go here where I can have the power. So if they want the power back, remove the salary cap, eliminate the guaranteed or the max contracts, and then you can pay a dude $200 million, and they won't complain about who you bring in or leave out.
No group of players has ever had more power in a team sport than NBA players do right now. And they worked a long time and very hard to get that. You're not just going to relent now and give it back. So the owners might want certain things. Wrestling it out of their hands is going to be an impossible task. In addition to the guaranteed contracts, by the way, there's another thing that makes all this possible to have this much power. Star players change their address more than they ever have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The movement around the league and guys' willingness to leave their teams exists at a higher level than ever. That creates leverage on the part of the player to pacify them and give them what they want. So player empowerment isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, so everybody here disagrees with Stephen A. on that. But we'll see. I mean, yeah, the Kyrie Irving trade, I'm sure, shook up the Nets if nobody
else. They would
else.
Do it all over again, though. If we went back to before, to have those three superstars on one team, all the teams in the league are looking for three superstars to get them, and they would take the chance that it would go bad because that's how you win a championship.
You know who might be looking for some superstars to play with?
Transition.
Aaron Rodgers.
Well done.
And when we come back, the stars aligned for Aaron as his offseason took a fascinating turn. Did you see what he did yesterday? We will talk about it next. But first, it's sneaky Hembo time, and this one is for Dominique. Who is the only quarterback to lose two Super Bowls before turning 28 years old? Dominique's going to think about that, and he's going to answer it when we come back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back on Get Up, and it is sneaky Hembo time for Dominique. Who is the only quarterback? If Patrick Mahomes loses, he'll have lost two Super Bowls before turning 28. Someone else did that already. Who was it?
I'm thinking that I know Dan Marino went to one as a rookie, but never went back. Jim Kelly went to a bunch, but he was old. I'm leaning John Elway. Dunk time, Hembo.
John Elway is the correct answer. And Dominique is happy that he got it right. You know what, Hembo?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The stars were not aligned for Hembo today, and that brings us to our next point, which is meanwhile on planet... Yeah, back-to-back, right? It was back-to-back. Lost to the Giants, and then he lost to Washington. Anyway, meanwhile on planet Earth, and in today's version of NFL offseason Mad Libs, Aaron Rodgers spoke at an astrology seminar on Monday. Yes, an astrology seminar, and you see here a little bit of a syllabus for the astrology seminar there, what you're learning about your birth chart and how to be happy and comfortable in your own skin, as all of us here are all the time. We don't need the help. But here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his birth chart, stuff that, you know, you wouldn't expect to have on a sports talk show in the morning, but Aaron is the gift that keeps on giving. So I don't know. Any thoughts?
Surprised.
Any thoughts on the astrology?
I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. If I had to pick someone, it would be Aaron Rodgers.
I'm
happy for him. Like, I think a lot of people find meaning and comfort and confidence in a bunch of different places that are much more crazy than astrology. It don't work for me, but if it works for Aaron, hey, he seems happier than he's ever been.
I had an astrology class in college. It was 7 to 10 at night after football practice. I don't remember much.
But you got an A.
What's that?
Well, you probably got an A, right?
Yeah, I got a plus. A plus.
No, not astronomy.
Okay.
Astrology. Right. Astrology.
Yeah. They teach astrology in college.
The signs of the zodiac. Yeah,
junior college.
That was. Oh.
I was like a Purdue.
No, junior college. You can
talk
everything.
Oh gosh, that's outstanding.
Are we supposed to be talking about football? Yeah. Yes. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Like, wait, one day a week.
Once he gets all his horoscope sorted out, Aaron Rodgers has a decision to make, and he's talked about this, right? Does he want to play? Does he want to play for the Packers? The Packers are waiting for an answer. There's been some discussion about potential trades. How do the next couple weeks look for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Well, they got to get everything sorted out. And again, I would create a sense of urgency if I was the Packers to say, hey, we need to know if you're in or if you're out. If you're in, it's $60 million. We've already agreed on that. If you want to be traded, we got to get this sorted out. That's really in your best interest, but it's in our best interest because we're going to move forward with Jordan Love, and we have to construct a team accordingly, knowing that you and your salary won't be here. So it's a three-party transaction. It's a little bit unusual in terms of if he says, I want the Raiders and the Jets offer more, that's going to be an issue. If he wants to go to the Jets and the Raiders offer more, there's a lot to sort through here. So it's not like in the past, Dan, where it was like, do I play or not play? If he goes someplace else, it gets more complicated.
A lot, like you said, there's a lot going on. Does he want to continue to play? Does he want to retire? Do they want him back? Does he want to go back there? My question to you, Rob Ninkovich, is should he want to go back there? Is that his best chance to win that second Super Bowl he's looking for?
No, I don't think it's his best chance to win the Super Bowl. I think that with the defense, and the last time that Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, he had a top five defense. Right.
I don't know if the Packers are a top five defense. I mean, they had high aspirations last
year
to be a good defense, but they weren't what we expected them to be. And then you look at just the time that he's been there. Sometimes you just, if you're in a location too long, it's just you need a fresh start. And maybe that fresh start would help him kind of reinvigorate that winning spirit.
They have the talent to be a top five defense, and they have the talent, I think, to win a championship. And I think on paper, I think it's obvious to me that staying in the NFC and staying with the Packers is his best chance to getting the Super Bowl. Not having to deal with those AFC quarterbacks and those powers over there would be his best chance. But if Rob's right that sometimes you just need a change, then Green Bay is not the place for him.
But if you go to the other side of the ball, guys, I got this from Hembo. If you look at their offensive production by month, in September, it was 16 points, October, 19, November, 22. And by the end of the season, it was 27 points per game. And what I would be saying to Aaron Rodgers is when we drafted those young receivers, it wasn't just for 2022. This is your best chance to be successful for not only 23, but through the end of your career.
So you're saying what?
Being that offseason
program. Oh, yeah. Mike hasn't brought that up before. I think it's against the rules for them to tell him to go to the offseason program.
Yeah, apparently, you know, that's what Neek negotiated the CBA.
That's what Neek negotiated. Because of Dominique, that is against the rules.
You're welcome, Packers fans and Aaron Rodgers.
Anyway, here's our next ACC-SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader. It is at 7 Eastern tonight. North Carolina taking on Wake Forest. Then Oscar Tshiebwe and Kentucky host Arkansas at Rupp Arena. That is tonight. We still have more to do here on Get Up, but when we are finished, First Take is coming up next. No Kyrie in L.A., so where do the Lakers go from here? Plus, how good will the Mavericks be with Kyrie? It is First Take at the top of the hour.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.